An FAA insider worries about all the trainees at Denver. TSA screening of all cargo on airliners won't happen on time. And TCM expands its cylinder recall. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 18th, 2009. There's an alarming new memo about the state of air traffic control in the skies over Denver, Colorado. But before you yawn, this is not just the latest exercise in hyperbole from NATCA. This is an internal FAA memo. Catherine Vernon is director of Western Terminal Operations for the FAA. She told KCNC-TV News in Denver the two-page memo was sent out last month by Kevin Stark, acting air traffic manager at the Denver Air Route Traffic Control Center. While she admits it leaves a lot of questions out there, she denies there's a safety issue. Stark wrote on February 19th that a decline in overall controller staffing levels, compounded by a higher percentage of trainees and growing air traffic volume, quote, creates situations that put their controllers at risk, and they are unable to provide the level of service our customers deserve, unquote. KCNC reports there have been at least two separation errors so far this year. In both cases, traffic collision advisory systems warned the pilots in time. But Vernon notes that FAA figures show the number of controller errors in Colorado have declined so far in 2009, compared with the same period in 2008. The Transportation Security Administration's mandate from Congress to screen all 7.6 billion pounds of cargo that gets loaded on passenger airliners each year isn't going to happen by its deadline. USA Today reports the Government Accountability Office found that while TSA is delegating the actual screening to the companies handling the cargo, the agency doesn't even have enough personnel to oversee that process. Another issue is equipment. All passenger bags have been screened since 2002, but the large cargo containers used in commercial shipping won't fit in those same machines. They can only handle lengths up to 10 feet. Brandon Freed, executive director of the Air Forwarders Association, says the only current workaround is opening those containers, removing all the smaller packages inside, then screening them individually. He says that would create a huge bottleneck. Teledyne Continental Motors has issued the first revision to its mandatory service bulletin issued last month. That's the one that calls for replacement of certain cylinders on six-cylinder engines. The updated MSB adds 300 additional cylinders manufactured since August of 2006. That's 15 months older than the oldest previously identified problem cylinders. By way of background, on February 12th, TCM issued a voluntary recall on certain cylinders produced and shipped since November 2007, after premature cylinder head cracking was found during regular maintenance. The problem was traced to a specific tool which was cutting cooling fins too deep into the casing, creating a weak spot. The cracks were found only on cylinders which had accumulated at least 430 hours, and all were discovered on the ground. There were no reports of in-flight failures related to the defect. The company is replacing the cylinders at its expense and hopes to complete the recall by year's end to avoid the issuance of an FAA airworthiness bulletin. The Space Shuttle Discovery successfully docked with the International Space Station yesterday afternoon. Between now and next Thursday, the combined STS-119 and Expedition 18 crews will work to install the final set of solar panels needed to generate enough power to support future six-person crews. Work that was originally slated to be completed in four spacewalks now has to be done in three, according to AFP News. That's due to the loss of one day after the launch was delayed by a hydrogen leak discovered during fueling. The first 6.5-hour spacewalk is scheduled for tomorrow. Now that we're in the age of NASA TV, the agency felt it needed to speculate on the fate of a bat that was seen clinging to Discovery's external fuel tank during the countdown. A wildlife expert said it was probably a free-tailed bat with a broken left wing and some problem with its right shoulder or wrist. NASA speculates the critter got a wild ride, but probably died abruptly during climb-out. The Kennedy Space Center is co-located with Florida's Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. Why? Well, because humans complain about the noise. Up next on ANN, an Air Force general tells the Senate KCX is a priority. Cessna announces more cuts in jet production, but a Cessna VP says he thinks we're near the bottom of the biz jet sales slump. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 18th. I'm Paul Platt. The commander of the U.S. Transportation Command told the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday that the deeply mired KCX tanker is his top priority. Air Force General Duncan McNabb called KCX, quote, a game changer, the ultimate mobility force multiplier, unquote. Northrop Grumman and Eads have squared off twice now against Boeing, both competitions resulting in contract awards overturned on appeal by the losing bidder. McNabb also offered an overview of the Transportation Command to the senators and added, quote, the current C-5, C-130, and KC-10 modernization programs will make an enormous difference in our capability and reliability, unquote. Cessna had bad news and good news for its employees recently. The bad news came in an email memo on Friday. CEO Jack Pelton announced Cessna will scale back production of the Citation CJ, Sovereign, and Citation 10 at Wichita, and will announce matching furloughs. Quote, as you are well aware, the global economy remains unstable and the international community faces tremendous challenges. While these steps have been painful for us all, they were necessary, unquote. The Associated Press reports the 2009 Wichita production target has been dropped from 535 jets to just 375. The furloughs will not affect workers at Cessna's plant in Independence, which builds the smaller and less expensive Citation Mustang. The slumping economy will mean slowed development on the Citation Columbus large jet, originally scheduled to start reaching customers in early 2014. The good news was, a top Cessna executive predicts that the downturn in demand for business jets is nearing its bottom. Roger White, Cessna's senior VP for sales and marketing, told the Wichita Eagle on Monday, quote, we continue to take orders. People are continuing to buy airplanes. We continue to deliver airplanes, unquote. The occasion was a ceremony to deliver two Citation XLS Plus 7-passenger business jets to Lufthansa Private Jet in Europe. White says they'll be used to fly to places not served by airlines. Lufthansa Private Jet says it will be the first commercial operator of the type in Europe. Claudio Pier is the COO of Lufthansa's Swiss Private Aviation. He was in Wichita to pick up the keys and noted the recent scarcity of delivery ceremonies. Quote, taking delivery of aircraft in these times is really very special, unquote. White urged a broad perspective in evaluating the marketplace. He noted that while 2009 business jet numbers will undoubtedly fall below last year's roughly 1,300 deliveries, they'll still be well above the 300 to 400 per year figures of the 80s and 90s. White also observed that the recession has been good news for some position holders who want to move up on the waiting list, and that Cessna is managing the credit crunch well. Quote, aircraft are generally a very good asset because of the value, and we are able to find financing for our customers, unquote. There was more measured optimism expressed Monday on a J.P. Morgan Chase & Company analyst conference call by U.S. Airways President Scott Kirby. He said while the airline cut international capacity 2% for the coming summer travel season in the face of a rapid decline in demand for first and business class, the market is stabilizing. Kirby added while international flights were thinned, no cities had service cut completely. Quote, we didn't pull out of any markets. We are evaluating the September and beyond period, unquote. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports Kirby told analysts that in February, revenue for booked flights began to stabilize at levels below 2008's fourth quarter, and they've been up slightly in March. Quote, we are moderately encouraged for April and beyond, unquote. U.S. Airways has announced further domestic capacity cuts of 4-6% in 2009. Kirby moved to clarify earlier statements by CEO Doug Parker that the airline could cut only so much without violating its contract with pilots. Kirby said, quote, "That really is not the constraining factor. We do have some fleet flexibility as we move forward," unquote. He also confirmed that a fare war has broken out among U.S. domestic airlines for summer travel, as capacity cuts have failed to keep pace with falling demand for seats. Still ahead, airline employment continues its decline. An airline watchdog group warns a la carte fees are rising. And the Golden Knights celebrate the Big 5-0. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, March 18th. I'm Paul Platt. As expected, airline employment levels continued their decline in January, as capacity cuts and their related furloughs showed up in official numbers. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the nation's scheduled passenger airlines employed 6.9% fewer workers in January of 2009 than they did a year earlier. That made the seventh consecutive drop and the largest year-to-year decline since December of 2003. The January full-time equivalent employee count of 390,000 was the lowest total since 1993. FTE calculations count two part-timers as one full-timer. Find more details on the report at www.aero-news.net. Airfarewatchdog.com is warning the traveling public that despite recent headlines about reduction or elimination of a la carte fees, most of those added fees introduced in the past year are staying put or going up. Group founder George Hobica noted positive changes, such as U.S. Airways ending charges for water served on flights, and Frontier ending fees for cashing infrequent flyer miles. But he also calls out Spirit Airlines and United Airlines for raising fees for pets in the cabin to $100 and $350, respectively. United now charges $500 for pets in the cargo hold. Spirit has raised the charge for an unaccompanied minor from $75 to $100. United charges $99. Hobica adds, quote, "The Delta-Northwest merger has also dealt a blow, since Northwest has raised most of its fees to the level Delta charges. In July, United Airlines will begin charging a fee to upgrade from economy to business or first class if you want to use your frequent flyer miles, so that means miles plus cash," unquote. Lesson is, check the fine print on the website carefully before you walk that minefield. Or just fly Southwest. The pilot population is very lopsidedly male, but the first woman to fly with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds is doing what she can to level things out. Major Nicole Malachowski, who's a 13-year veteran of the Air Force and an accomplished F-15E Strike Eagle pilot, volunteered to spend time answering questions from young girls Saturday at the Women in Aviation and Space Family Day, held at the National Air and Space Museum Udvar-Hazy Center in Chantilly, Virginia. One of the girls asked her, "Is it hard to be a pilot?" Malachowski smiled, quote, "Of course it's hard. You have to study. You have to work a lot. You have to stay in shape. You have to be dedicated to it. But when you're up there flying, it all becomes worth it. There is nothing like the combination of grace and power that comes from flying jets," unquote. Of her appearance at the event, Malachowski commented, quote, "It's an investment in the future of our country and just very energizing to come out and talk to people about what we do. It's an honor for me to be here to highlight some of the contributions women have made in our field," unquote. 15-year-old Ellie Jones, the daughter of a retired technical sergeant, was among those who were excited to meet the major. Quote, "I love airplanes and pilots. We went to air shows all the time while my dad was stationed in England. Getting to talk with Nicole is just amazing because it shows that your dreams really can come true. She's an inspiration," unquote. And finally, if you're at an air show this summer and see the U.S. Army Golden Knights parachute demonstration team, wander by after the performance and congratulate their unit on its 50th anniversary. The official celebration was kicked off this week during a special ceremony that celebrated the team's half century of serving the country as Army ambassadors, while also representing more than a million American soldiers. Lieutenant General Benjamin Freakley, commanding general of U.S. Army Accessions Command, commented, quote, "Today, they are just one example of the many unique and interesting career opportunities available in the U.S. Army. The Golden Knights of the Army Parachute Team represent the best of our Army, non-commissioned officers, technically superior soldier athletes who daily demonstrate the Army values," unquote. The Golden Knights was formed in 1959 as a Strategic Army Corps sport parachute team. The original mission was to compete in the then communist-dominated sport of free-fall parachuting. The team performed so well that on June 1, 1961, the Army officially recognized, designated, and activated the team as the U.S. Army Parachute Team. Today, the Golden Knights have two teams performing aerial demonstrations at air shows and special events nationwide in support of Army recruiting efforts, and two competition teams which compete internationally. They're the most successful U.S. Department of Defense sports team. As part of the celebration of the 50th anniversary, the Golden Knights will perform jumps into the new Yankee Stadium and the Statue of Liberty grounds in New York City. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the second part of our series, Lessons from Flight 1549, hear First Officer Jeffrey Skiles address the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee and answer questions about the miracle on the Hudson. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.